Hi, my name is Caitlin Savacek, and I work in the White House Office of New Media. Thanks so much for joining us today for this chat on the safety of seafood coming from the Gulf of Mexico. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Jane Lubchenco, who is the Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere, and also the Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Thanks so much for joining us today. Just a quick reminder, for those of you who are joining us on Facebook, if you want to go ahead and drop your questions in the chat application, we'll be taking those. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Lubchenco for some introductory remarks, and then we'll dive into your questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the Department of Commerce, is the nation's ocean agency containing the National Marine Fisheries Service, the National Ocean Service, National Weather Service, and other divisions. Among other things, NOAA regulates commercial and recreational fishing in federal waters, which is generally 3 miles offshore out to 200 nautical miles. NOAA has performed environmental monitoring, screening, and training following many major oil spills, including the Exxon Valdez, but also in the aftermath of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, for example. Our seafood inspection program has existed since the mid-1950s, even before NOAA was created. And as we have said many times since the BP Deepwater Horizon event began, the first and most important step in protecting the safety of seafood from the Gulf has been a fishery closure. As NOAA closed federal waters to fishing, we look forward to the days when we could begin to reopen them, but only after we could certify that seafood that would be caught in those waters could be safe to eat. Secretary Gary Locke, FDA Commissioner Peggy Hamburg, and I agree with fishermen, with fishery regulators in the states, with consumer safety advocates, with seafood lovers every place, that the first priority is protecting the safety of seafood from the Gulf. NOAA has worked closely with the Food and Drug Administration to plan a reopening protocol, which was accepted by NOAA, the FDA, and by the Gulf states. This protocol specifies that the first condition for reopening an area is that there is no oil present and no oil likely to be present in the foreseeable future. When that condition is met, we will take samples from an area and process them, and they must pass both sensory tests as well as chemical tests before they are deemed to be safe to reopen. Currently, about 22% of the federal waters in the Gulf remain closed to fishing because they have not yet been deemed safe. To support consumer safety and consumer confidence, NOAA will continue to test seafood from those areas we have already reopened to make sure that they continue to be safe. And now I'd be happy to take any questions and give you more information about NOAA's efforts to maintain the safety of seafood coming from the Gulf.
Great, thank you. So our first question comes from Marianne Combs, and she said, how do we know that the seafood that's in our markets or in restaurants isn't tainted because of the oil spill?
Oil is a problem in tainting seafood, and because of that reason, we have closed waters, federal waters, to fishing so that taint doesn't get into the seafood supply. Our rigorous protocols enable us to detect taint and to make sure that before we reopen areas, they are in fact tested for oil products. And only after we have shown that they are safe will we reopen them. Currently, for example, we have opened at the maximum, the Gulf, 37% of the waters, federal waters in the Gulf, were closed to fishing. Before reopening those areas, we did extensive testing. We've now processed more than 1,200 samples and have deemed from both sensory and chemical analyses that there is no taint present in those waters that we have reopened.
Great. So another follow-up question. A lot of people have been asking about the use of dispersants in the oil spill. This question comes from Jane Gnat Rodinsky, and she said, what testing is being done for dispersants, and what can we do to make sure that the seafood that we're eating is safe from dispersants?
There has been a lot of concern about dispersants. I think first and foremost, it's important to recognize that both dispersants and oil break down naturally in the environment. And so through time, they will disappear. One of the things that we are doing is testing for dispersants as well as oil in the sensory tests. Specially trained individuals can detect even minute quantities of dispersants or of oil. And we are making sure that there is no taint in seafood before it is allowed to be on the market.
Okay. Another question we've gotten is about packaging and whether or not people can tell based on packaging in their local markets or in restaurants, you know, where seafood has come from. Is that something that people should be concerned about or something that we're working on?
Sometimes seafood is identified as to its location. I would encourage all marketers to do that. I think that's simply good practice. If in doubt, consumers should ask, where did this seafood come from? But in this case, we know that the seafood that should be getting into the market, based on our protocols and our dockside and market-based sampling, we know that the seafood that is in the market now from the Gulf is in fact safe to eat.
Great. We've had a couple questions come in about some of the long-term effects on wildlife in the Gulf of Mexico. Do we anticipate any long-term effects from the use of, or the oil spill or the use of dispersants on seafood from the Gulf?
We know that the animals that are alive in the Gulf now, let me start that differently. Oil is toxic, and many of the animals that were exposed to oil early on may have suffered consequences, and everyone has seen pictures of oiled birds or sea turtles, for example, that are very graphic. We know that a number of sea turtles and dolphins, for example, and birds have died, but many of them are being rehabilitated, and there has been an extraordinary effort to recover that wildlife and to put individuals in rehabilitation, keep them healthy to the extent that that's possible, and then release them into the wild. The other kinds of impacts that oil might have on seafood from the Gulf is beneath the surface, where, of course, most of the seafood lives, the fish, crabs, shrimp, and oysters. And those different types of species process oil differently. Fish process, metabolize oil relatively quickly, and so they can cleanse their bodies of oil in a relatively short period of time. Crabs and shrimp process that oil a little bit more slowly, and oysters even more slowly. So in our testing protocols, we are testing each of those different groups separately, and we'll specify when we reopen what an area is safe to fish for or not. The longer-term consequences of oil in the Gulf remain to be detected. The federal government and many of our academic partners in the region have very active monitoring and evaluation programs designed to understand what the long-term impacts of this disaster will be. And I think it's fair to say that we won't know for some time yet what the true impact of this catastrophe is to the health of the ecosystem or to the people in it. We are committed to remaining in the Gulf and restoring Gulf, not just the safety of Gulf seafood, but bringing back the Gulf ecosystem and the communities that depend on the Gulf for their lives and livelihoods, to bring back both of those to a healthy situation. We're not going anywhere.
Great, thank you. The next question we have comes from Janet Crandall, and she asks, you know, you keep talking about federal waters. What other waters are there that are potentially being fished right now, and how are you working sort of closely with the states to make sure that, you know, any fish that's coming out of the Gulf of Mexico is safe?
Yeah. Great question, Janet. Each state is responsible for regulating fisheries in state waters. And so for Mississippi, Alabama, for example, that is 3 miles from the shore. For Florida and Texas, it's 9 miles from the shore out into the Gulf. And federal waters begin beyond those state borders. And so this is a situation where the federal government has been working closely with the states. When we agreed with the Food and Drug Administration on the protocol that we would use for reopening, those criteria that I mentioned earlier, the states agreed to adhere to those same criteria. And so states are collecting samples from state waters and are working with the Food and Drug Administration to certify when it is safe to reopen and moving ahead accordingly. So this is a parallel effort. States regulate state waters, NOAA regulates fisheries in federal waters, and we're doing so in close cooperation.
Great, thank you. The next question came in via our web form before the chat, and it's sort of a follow-up question. What is the federal government doing to make sure that people aren't illegally fishing in federal waters that are currently closed?
Normally, NOAA works in close partnership with the U.S. Coast Guard to enforce our fishery regulations. And in the Gulf right now, both NOAA and the Coast Guard have been actively being very vigilant in making sure that fishermen aren't fishing in areas that were closed. There have been a number of incidences where individuals were caught. They were immediately, the catches were immediately captured, and we feel confident that the very vigilant efforts have been successful and are preventing any tainted seafood from getting into the seafood supply.
Great, thank you. Another question that we've got from a couple of people regards to sort of the extent of the oil spill and the extent of how far the oil has traveled. So a few people have asked, should we be concerned about oil or about seafood caught in other places outside of the Gulf of Mexico, in the Atlantic Ocean or other places that sort of touch the Gulf of Mexico?
Fortunately, even the vast amount of oil, 4.9 million barrels that was released from the Deepwater Horizon well site has remained in the Gulf. We have been testing, monitoring exactly where the oil is and tracking it through time, both on the surface as well as below the surface. And we were quite lucky in this situation. Both the ocean currents and the winds were such that the oil was contained in the Gulf and has remained there. And in fact, it did not even spread throughout the entire Gulf. It's been only in an area that has been concentrated around the well site and slightly beyond, but certainly not the entire Gulf.
One other question we've gotten in has been about sort of the difference between NOAA and the FDA and the Coast Guard and how sort of the federal partners are working together. Can you explain a little bit more about sort of NOAA's role versus other federal agencies?
Sure, I'm happy to. NOAA has responsibility for regulating fisheries, both commercial and recreational. With that responsibility, we can close areas and we can open areas. But NOAA does not certify that seafood is safe. That is FDA's responsibility. And so when it comes to seafood safety, NOAA and FDA have worked closely together to agree on a protocol. NOAA takes the samples, NOAA processes the samples, analyzes those, gives the results to FDA. The FDA looks at it and says, yes, this satisfies our criteria and we certify that it's safe. The seafood from this area is safe, and then NOAA can reopen an area. The Coast Guard's role in this is to help enforce the closed areas, and we have longstanding and very effective partnership with the Coast Guard in doing that enforcement and greatly value the work that they've done on that front as well as so many other fronts in this spill.
Great, thank you. One of the next questions comes from Tony Villarreal. And he said that, you know, fish migrate throughout waters in the Gulf of Mexico. How can we be sure that fish that are caught in a safe area or an open area haven't migrated through areas that are now closed?
Good question, Tony. We've been sampling along the borders of the closed areas, both inside and out, to detect that very thing and to know how far the fish are moving and to be assured that we're not going to open areas prematurely. Given that fish might be migrating through. The areas that have been opened to date, for example, have had no oil present for over a month. And because there's less and less oil out there, there's no expectation there will be additional oil. And so we feel confident. We've been consistently erring on the side of caution in this, wanting first and foremost to protect the integrity of the seafood supply, make sure that seafood is safe to eat, and really doing so in a very cautious fashion.
Great, thank you. One of our next questions comes from Karma Keats, and she asks, will the price of shrimp and prawns and other seafood from the Gulf go up dramatically due to the scarcity and fewer fish being caught?
I think it's quite likely that it will. I don't have any numbers on what the prices are showing right now, but when there is less seafood available, it would certainly stand to reason that increases in price might be a result.
Okay, great. Frankie Fowler asks, will inspectors be dockside to inspect boats as they're coming off and unloading seafood? Or can you explain a little bit more about sort of what that process looks like in terms of inspecting the seafood?
Most of the seafood sampling that we are doing is in the waters that we are considering for reopening. But we are also doing dockside sampling and some market-based sampling just to cover all the bases. All three of those give us different pieces of information. And we think that that series of filters is effectively protecting any tainted seafood from getting into the market.
Great. So we've seen a couple questions related to, you know, whether we're accepting help from other countries or other outside agencies when it comes to sampling seafood and testing seafood. Is that something that NOAA is working on, or are there other countries or other agencies that are helping out?
The United States has accepted offers from many other countries for part of the response effort. But in the case of seafood safety, we feel comfortable that we have the capacity in-house and have not needed to accept any foreign offers. We have significantly ramped up the number of individuals that are trained to do the seafood testing. On the federal side, the FDA is working with states to do the same on the state side. And that combination of federal agencies, FDA and NOAA, and the states is adequately meeting the demand in terms of being able to get the samples, process them, analyze the results, and certify whether an area is appropriate for reopening or not.
Great. So we've got another question that came in about waivers, and it's person has heard that some people have gotten waivers to fish in waters that are not yet opened. Do you know if that's the case? Are we granting any waivers to fish in waters that aren't opened?
NOAA hasn't granted any waivers to fish in areas that are not opened, except to take samples to process.
Okay.
But I wouldn't call that a waiver. It's simply part of our protocols.
Okay, great. So we've gotten a few other questions that have come in on talking a little bit about sort of how much oil is still left in the water and to what extent that's affecting the rate at which you're able to open new areas for fishing. Can you talk a little bit about sort of which new areas have been opened and how many areas are now open for fishing?
Mm-hmm. The first closure of federal waters to fishing was done on May 2nd. And then over time, as the oil was still being released and was spreading, we closed more and more of the federal waters to fishing, and states were doing the same in state waters. At the maximum in July, we had about 37% of the Gulf waters closed to fishing, and that remained the case for quite some time. The beginning of the end, once oil stopped flowing, we have been sampling around the edges where oil either never actually went because it wasn't pushed there by the winds and the currents, or areas that were lightly oiled. We've been sampling in those areas and gradually opening up areas once there has been no oil present for quite some time, no more oil expected to be, and the samples that were taken in those areas met both the sensory and the chemical tests. So it's been a very cautious set of steps following the protocols that we agreed to. Now, I know there has been concern that the person who was asking the question noted about oil in the subsurface. And I think it's important to recognize that there was a fair amount of oil in the subsurface, not just oil on the surface. But our rough estimate is that about a quarter of the oil that was released was, in fact, in the subsurface, below the surface of the water. but that it quickly became highly dilute in parts per thousand. Parts per million, so really, really dilute. And those very small microscopic droplets of oil are in the process of being biodegraded naturally by the bacteria that are in the Gulf that eat oil. And so much of the oil that was released is highly dilute in the subsurface and is in the process of degrading naturally. Over a period of time, then, there will be less and less threat of any contamination by that oil, especially since it's so highly dilute. So given that and the fact that fish in particular can process oil very rapidly and cleanse their bodies of it should they have encountered any, I think we're in a relatively good position. And then the protocols that we have identified and are following very strictly are extra added measures of safety, again, in a very conservative way, so that we can make sure that there aren't any tainted seafood products that consumers might be exposed to.
Great, thank you. Another question comes from Todd Austin, and he's wondering a little bit about sort of the difference between both the sensory and the chemical tests that NOAA scientists do. If you could explain a little bit more about sort of how those two work together to make sure that the seafood is safe.
Once samples are collected from an area of the ocean, there's a very specific protocol that they have to go through. There's a chain of custody. The samples are identified, handled in a very precise way, brought back to the lab that's in Pascagoula, Mississippi, our National Seafood Inspection Laboratory. And there is a very specific protocol for preparing them for analysis and then doing, first of all, the sensory tests. Those sensory tests involve both smelling and tasting the seafood by experts that are both very good at smelling and tasting. They're naturally adept at that, but they also undergo very rigorous training and testing so that we know that they are able to, for example, detect contaminants in the parts per million level. So very, very minute quantities, far exceeding the threshold, or far below the threshold, that would be a concern for human safety. So the sensory analyses are the first cut. Only if samples pass all of the sensory tests are they then sent to another laboratory, this one in Seattle, Washington, for the chemical tests. And at that point, they are put through a series of steps to prepare a sample, and then there are chemical tests done on them using very sophisticated, state-of-the-art equipment to identify 12 different components of oil. These are called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. And we look for any one of those 12 compounds and do not certify that a sample has passed if it has any of those compounds present. And in all the samples, the 1,200 samples that have been processed to date, all of those have passed both the sensory and the chemical tests.
Great, thank you. There's another question that just came in from Sean Cote, and he said, how long will the government be testing this fish for?
Because we want to make sure that seafood continues to be safe, we are planning on continuing to test in areas that we have already reopened, and we will continue to do that. So right now, for example, we are testing both in areas that we're considering reopening and in areas that we have already reopened, just to make sure that seafood continues to be safe from those areas. We don't have any cutoff date for that has been identified, but we will continue to do that monitoring and that testing as long as there's concern that it might be an issue.
Great. So this is just a little bit different question, but Beth Wilson asks, if the seafood from the Gulf of Mexico is so safe, why aren't they serving it at the White House?
Actually, Beth, the president did have seafood from the Gulf served at the White House last week. There was, what was it, a 30-foot long po-boy that was, prepared with the shrimp from the Gulf. And of course, the president was down in Florida over the weekend in Panama City, and I understand that he had Gulf seafood then. I think every trip that he's been to the Gulf, he's had some. I've been to the Gulf 7 times and had Gulf seafood each of those times when I was there. And Secretary Gary Locke is in Louisiana today meeting with recreational commercial fishermen. And I suspect that he's probably having seafood there as well.
Great. And the po' boy was excellent. Very good.
Did you get it?
I did. It was great.
Excellent.
So moving along, we've got a couple other questions that are coming in. One question was about inland waters. To what extent has inland fishing been affected by the oil spill? And this question comes from Steve Alexander.
The inland waters in the states of the Gulf are regulated by those state fisheries. So that really is a question that's more appropriate for them to answer. That's not an area that NOAA really has any jurisdiction over.
Great. So a couple more questions that are coming in. So if folks want to help support Gulf commercial fishing, what are some things that they can do sort of in the short term and in the near term to help support people in the Gulf in terms of the commercial fishers?
I think that's a great question. One thing I think would be just to talk to friends and family about the importance of buying Gulf seafood, of supporting people in the Gulf. I think there's a lot of concern out there, and to the extent that people can be reassured that in fact it's safe. A lot of what happens is, you know, people talk to one another, and if you feel that it's safe and you tell your friends and family, I think that helps quite a bit.
Great. So I think we probably have time for one more question, and let's see. A couple other ones coming in about if labeling is not mandatory. So a couple questions that have come in recently about sort of labeling of seafood. If it's not mandatory, you know, how can people be assured that the seafood that they're buying in their grocery store or getting it at their you know at a restaurant is safe? And what can we do to sort of help people understand you know where fish is coming from and whether or not it's safe?
I think the best course of action is always to ask. Where is the seafood from? How is it caught? And I think consumers deserve to have that kind of information. The more you know, the better informed you are, the more informed decisions that you can make. So I would say ask.
Great. And just one more quick question. Mark Johnson asks, is NOAA working with independent scientists and folks outside of the government to sort of address the seafood safety issue?
We have a lot of partnerships with academic institutions in the Gulf and elsewhere, and many of them have contributed information that has fed into the protocols, but they are not actively involved in the testing of the seafood. That's done by the two NOAA labs in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and Seattle, Washington.
Great. Well, I think that's all the questions we have time for today. Dr. Lubchenco, I don't know if you had any closing thoughts you wanted to leave us with.
Thanks, Caitlin, and thanks everybody for joining us. It was a pleasure to have a chance to tell you a little bit about what we're doing at NOAA. Should you have more information, more questions, feel free to go to NOAA.gov. We very much support consumers learning more and asking questions about the fish we consume. Supporting seafood that comes from U.S. waters is one thing that we can do to support our economy and the high environmental and safety standards that our fishermen meet. You can be sure that NOAA's seafood safety testing program is rigorous and reliable, and we're taking extraordinary steps to ensure a high level of confidence in the seafood that we eat. Eat Gulf seafood. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you so much, and thanks again for joining us today. For folks who just joined us, this video will be posted on whitehouse.gov later today. So thanks again, Dr. Lubchenco.
My pleasure.